Chodesh Tov, and I wanted to discuss today and share a little bit about a less commonly discussed mitzvah of Chodesh Nisan. We generally, right now, as we're standing in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we stand in the middle of Adar and all the mitzvahs of Purim and everything going on, and the preparation that we have for Pesach, whether it's the physical preparation around the house and all the shopping, or the spiritual preparation of getting ready for the Seder and Divrei Torah. And there's another mitzvah that kicks in with the beginning of the month of Nisan that is often a little bit overlooked. And I wanted today, over the course of Shir, to discuss a little bit of some of the ins and outs, kind of the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, of Birkat Eilanot, the blessing that we say on the trees on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or the month of Nisan. The Gemara in Brachot tells us that when someone goes out during the month of Nisan and they see that the trees are blooming, they recite the Birkat Eilanot, and that is also brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'Maisa, that when we go out, we say the Birkat Eilanot, and that is a, you know, once a year type of bracha, although even though it's only once a year, we do not make a Shachianu. The reason for this seems to be based, is that the, you could say based on Pshat, why do we say the bracha in Chodesh Nisan? Because this is the spring, and, you know, practically speaking, this is when, you know, the trees start to bloom. Right, the snow, depending on where you are in the world, has more or less, you know, completely melted, and now the trees are growing and the grass is growing and things are turning green again, and you start to see the trees blooming. Another reason could be based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that Nisan is the month of Geula, because A, the original Geula was in Mitzrayim, and we know what happened then is a siman for the future. The Gemara says that Geula might, you know, the future Geula is also going to be in Nisan. And we also see that based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the, you know, in Ketz Megula, there's no greater sign of the Geula coming than the period of Eretz Yisrael growing, blossoming the trees. And Eretz Yisrael, that seems to really be the sign of Geula. And there's a certain aspect, whether even if, you know, in each every generation there's a aspect of Geula. And even though we might not necessarily be able to tap into it each and every year, Bezrat Hashem, we daven that the Geula Atida, the final redemption, is going to come as soon as possible. Every year, there's an aspect of Geula that comes with the spring as the winter months fade away and the rejuvenation of the earth and the trees and the greenery come back. There's a form of Geula that comes in, and that's where we're saying a bracha through the trees. With, you know, if you see in the Birkat Eilanot, the Svarim that bring down, there's the Yihiratzon before and after that discuss, you know, some of the Geula and some of the more Kabbalistic sides of it, but that we're not going to get into so much this year. Today, try to stay a little bit more in the halachic realm than the Machshava and Kabbalah behind it. Based on the Gemara and the Rishonim, it seems to be that it's on any tree, any type of tree, any amount of trees. And we're going to see that some of the Achronim and the, you know, some of the different Rishonim try and argue and see what exactly are the parameters and definitions for the, and requirements for the bracha. So seemingly, the Gemara and Rishonim seem to say any tree. There's a machloket in the Gersaot of maybe you could say Ilanei versus Ilan. Is it one tree or two trees? Different Rishonim say different things. Some of the Achronim say it's not even a machloket Gersaot, because practically speaking, there's no difference, because, you know, the Gemara, even sometimes when it uses Lashon Rab and when it speaks in plural, it's really referring to the singular. And sometimes when it says singular, it refers to plural. Some of the Achronim say the different Gersaot really are pretty irrelevant here. The Shu'ot Halachot Gedolot, Ketanot, sorry, and the Chida say that really one should not say the bracha unless there are many trees. But the Chida brings down and says really you should be makbid to say that there should be more than two trees. But, and mashma from the Chida, that Mikra Adin, if there's only one, you are Yotzei. And this is also the opinion of Rav Ovadia Yosef, that L'maisa, melechatchila, one should ideally only say Birkat Eilanot if there are two or more trees. But Mikra Adin, there's definitely room to say that if there's only one tree, you know, as Pshat in the Gemara would say, it works. Rav Moshe Feinstein is brought down in the Shu'ot Revuot Ephraim by Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, when Rav Moshe is the Talmidim Muvhakim from Memphis, says that brings down in his Tshuvas there in discussing the Birkat Eilanot, that Rav Moshe was not makbid to say the bracha on two trees, and he said it only on one tree. As an aside, I'm not sure 100% if that's purely a halachic thing, or Rav Moshe was living in New York City, and, you know, you generally don't see more than, you know, maybe go to the parks, but in wherever Rav Moshe specifically was living in New York City, maybe it was hard to find two blooming trees at once. The Mekubalim, and brought down by the Kaf HaChaim as well, says that ideally it's not a din in one tree or two trees or numerous trees. It's based on pshat and l'chida that it should be ilorot rabim. There should be a lot of trees, and that's why the Kaf HaChaim and the Mekubalim generally are knowing to say that really you should say the tree, the bracha berkat ilanot, in an orchard where there's many trees. Not sure exactly if it's purely based on that, or also because, you know, an orchard in Hebrew is the word pardes, also pshat, remesh, drush, and sod. Maybe there's an aspect of being surrounded by the pardes, the orchard, in a machshava sense, in a Kabbalah sense, that we're being surrounded by the four different understandings of Torah. That's just a thought on the side that crossed my mind, that might be why they are makbedavka for an orchard or for many trees. It should be noted that in today's world, you know, where there's, you know, coronavirus and people are not going in and out as much then or at all, then definitely should be mekel and be somech for sure on the shitot, the mikara din. Even if there's only one tree, you are definitely yotze, and not try and go to find a place where there's two trees if it's, you know, further away from your home and you're not able to. The Chida points out, though, that even though he holds that ideally you should have two different trees, it doesn't need to be two different types of trees, right? It doesn't need to be a pomegranate tree right next to a fig tree or whatever different trees there are that you're using. It doesn't need to be two different types of trees. The ideal is that it should be two trees, but not two different types of, you know, species of tree. Okay. Moving on a little bit. We mentioned before that it has to be, right? The Gemara points out, livluve, that it has to be the blossomings. And so there's a machol machloket as to what is the definition of blossoming. What's going on here? How much of a blossom do I really need, not need? What's going on? Lemaisa. So based on the Gemara, it needs to be blossoming and have some sort of sign of flowers. The Mordechai and the Hagot Memoniot understand that even if the flowers all fell off and the fruit started to grow, you could still make the bracha. Why? Because they're going to say, no, it's not a din in the flowers. I don't care of the fact that the flowers specifically are blooming or not. Rather, it's that the tree itself has blossomed or is blossoming. And even if the flowers aren't there anymore, the fact that there's fruit, that shows to me that really the tree is blossoming, and as a result, I can still make the bracha. The Torah, Shulchan Aruch, and Mishnah Brura do not accept the opinion of the Mordechai and the Hagot Maimoniot. They say, no, the fact that the Gemara tells us, livluve, it seems to be that the blossoms themselves, the flowers of the fruit blossoming, are inherent to the mitzvah, inherent to the bracha, and as a result, if the flowers fell off, you missed your chance. The Eshkol wants to understand, though, that what would be the din, though? Okay, so the flower, let's say the flower fell off and the fruit started to grow. But the fruit, the minute the flower falls off, the fruit grows, it does not all of a sudden become edible. It takes a stage from when the flower falls off till you have a ripe orange in your hand. And as a result, the Eshkol points out that if the minute the flower falls off, if the fruit starts to, even if the fruit's not edible, but it started to grow, you cannot recite the bracha. And this is the psak of the Kaf HaChaim and Rav Avadia, and this is the Minhag HaSfardim, that if the flower falls off, but there is fruit, and even though the fruit's not edible, you cannot recite the bracha. Whereas in the Mishnah Berurah and the Prima Gadim, they were medactic in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes specifically, Shegadlu HaPerot. And as a result, the Mishnah Berurah and the Prima Gadim are medayik, and they point out that the fruit grows, and as a result, so that what's growing of the fruit, it doesn't mean that there is a fruit, it means that the fruit's ripe and ready to eat. And as a result, the Mishnah Berurah and Prima Gadim say that you can make a bracha on unripe fruit, even if there's no flowers. And as a result, Minhag Ashkenaz is that lechatchila, we try and make the bracha on the buds of the fruit alone, just when there's flowers and no fruit itself, even if it's unripe. But bidyevet, if let's say this happens sometimes in a leap year, where all of a sudden Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes around, and it is, all of a sudden, you know, it's been an extra month. The spring started earlier, or at least this, you know, it started earlier in a calendaric way, but it's still Chodesh Nisan now. And as a result, sometimes you come to, right, Nisan after Adar Aleph and Adar Bet, and the fruit's already started to blossom, and it's hard to find trees that have flowers on them sometimes, depending on where you live. This is going to definitely be a discussion, as well as if it's a leap year. And as a result, Bidyevet, Ashkenazim definitely have what to be somech on to, like the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah, to Bidyevet say the bracha on unripe fruit, even if there's no flowers. So, we're going to try and see now what type of fruit we're talking about. The Ayvitz brings down, and is in the name of the Rambam and the Gemara, that the bracha is not need to be made on fruit trees. Rather, the bracha is made on blossoming trees. As in, There's trees that blossom that produce beautiful flowers but don't give off fruit. So what would be the din? Can I say, hey, Birkat HaIlanot on a beautiful tree that's starting to blossom and produce its gorgeous flowers, but is not going to produce actual fruit? So the Yavetz basically says, based off of the, he's Medayik in the Lashon of the Gemara and Rambam, that it's, right, the fruits are, have their blossom, the trees, sorry, are blossoming. And so long as the trees are blossoming, I don't need to be fruit trees. It's specifically a tree that's blossoming. Who cares whether or not it gives off fruit or not? The Halachot Ketanot disagrees with the Yavetz on this and says, no, the bracha specifically has to be on fruit trees. And this is how the Mishnah Berurah paskins halacha lemaisa, that you really do need to make the bracha on fruit trees specifically, and not on just any blossoming tree. But he said, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and this is also brought down halacha lemaisa by the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, and Rav Ovadia, that if you by accident made a bracha on a non-fruit-bearing tree, right, an alon ilan srak, as we call it, in as Chazal refer to it, that if you accidentally made the bracha on a non-fruit-bearing tree, because you saw a tree that was blossoming, and you say, oh, perfect, let me make Birkat HaIlanot, and you weren't familiar that it wasn't a fruit tree, then, b'di'eved, we can be somech on the Yavetz, and you should not recite the bracha again, because safek brachot lahakel, plus there's shitot, you know, the Yavetz, that really, it doesn't even need to be a fruit tree. So as a result, psak is, if you said the, you accidentally made a bracha on a non-fruit-bearing tree, you do not go back and you make the bracha. Based on this little discussion between the Yavetz and the Halachos Ketanos, there's a lot of nafkaminot that are going to come out. What would you do on different types of trees? The first is going to be, what's going to be the discussion? What's the halacha for a bitter fruit? A fruit that's so bitter you can't eat it on its own. Or it's a fruit, there's a lot of different fruits today that for hundreds of years we never ever used. And now we are able to extract different flavors from them. And through, you know, the factory and different processing that's done, we take different parts of the fruit and use it for flavorings for different foods and things like that, that historically were never really used before. So Rav Ovadia points out that if you have a bitter fruit that can't be eaten on its own, that Mikra Adin, you could make the bracha, because at the end of the day, that is a fruit. The tree gives forth fruit, and Mikra Adin, you can make a bracha. But L'chatchila, you really should not try, you should try and not make a bracha on said tree, because, you know, at the end of the day, the fruit itself is not, you know, you don't just take a bite out of the fruit, like an apple or other fruit that you just eat naturally, because the fruit itself is really not edible, but it's at the end of the day, it is a fruit, and it's in, and there is what there are derivatives made from it. So b'dievet, it's definitely mikra din; it's able to be used for a bracha, but lechatchila best not to. The next discussion is going to be: what about an old tree, the tree, or it's sick, and the fruit tree, it stopped giving forth fruit. Right? It used to be a beautiful tree, and it gave forth fruit every year. And now, unfortunately, the tree got sick, or it's gotten very old, and as a result, it has stopped producing fruit. So, as also brought down there, the Mikra Adin, you could make the bracha on the tree, because the tree, at the end of the day, so long as it's blossoming, of course, right? If it blossoms, but it doesn't actually have the ability to give off fruit, but it still gives off flowers, at the end of the day, the tree is a fruit tree, Mikra Adin, you can still make the bracha on it, but lechatchila, best not to, best to find a tree that is still of age and able to give forth fruit. But it should be noted that, let's say it's an older, sicker tree, it hasn't stopped giving fruit completely, but it gives forth less fruit. It used to give off 100, you know, 100 apples a season, and now it only gives off, you know, 20. Or instead, you know, it takes much longer, and as a result, it produces much, much fewer fruit, right? The fruit only comes out in a much shorter pattern, or, you know, you've had the tree for a while, and over the past 10 years, you've noticed that only every other year does the fruit tree actually give forth fruit. In that case, you could still make the bracha lechatchila, because at the end of the day, it's still a fruit tree that definitely is giving off fruit, even though it is only happening at a more, you know, spread out interval or much slower pace, that is still called a fruit tree, and then you could still make a bracha lechatchila. But if it's really completely stopped giving fruit, make it, and you can, lechatchila, you should not make the bracha on it. What about the case of a branch of a tree that is not still attached, right? You have a beautiful fruit tree, and you cut it off and you bring it inside. Right? There's something that halacha lemaisa, a lot of has been discussed right now with Birkat HaIlanot for people who are stuck in quarantine for coronavirus. That's something that's going to be very, very important to see and to discuss. How is that going to apply when we definitely have cases today where people can't go outside and make the bracha? So it seems to be that the Maharsham originally seemed to say, no, you for sure can make the bracha on a branch that was cut off from a tree. Why? Because I bring to you a branch that has the blossom's totally on it. And as a result, I can totally, totally make the bracha on it. The Rambam says you really can't, and there's a bunch of different reasons why he disagrees with the Marsha. I'm not going into it now, but basically seemingly saying it needs to be on a tree. And now, if it's not on a tree, you cannot come and make the bracha on it because it's not attached to the tree anymore. And as a result, he disagrees and he says you can't. And halacha l'maisa, the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Ovadia both bring down that you cannot make a bracha on a tree that was not attached because at the end of the day, it is not still going to be attached to the tree and you really should not use a branch on its own because it's not attached to the tree anymore. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings down that though if you had, let's say, a tree in your house and you happen to cut, you know, you have a tree in a pot, then you can definitely use it. You make the bracha on a fruit tree in a pot, whether it's an atzitz nakuv, atzitz seino nakuv, the pot has a perforated hole on it, doesn't have a perforated hole on it, you can definitely make the bracha on it. This is also the psak of the Yalkut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current chief rabbi, that in a potted plant, you can definitely make the bracha on it, because at the end of the day, it's still a fruit tree, even though it's inside or outside, the fact that it's in a pot, it's still attached. There's some who wanted to say that in today's generation, you know, when you have people are in quarantine and unable to leave their homes, they can, instead, you can take a smaller tree. Let's say you have a small fruit tree that is still growing. And then you can bring it inside and make the bracha on the small tree inside your house. But that's going to lead us to a different discussion. That's going to be very important here. What if the tree, right, you want to say you have a small fruit tree growing in your house in a potted plant, or you bring in a full tree from outside, then, you know, not a huge tree, but you bring in a baby tree that's starting to grow, and you want to know, can I make the bracha on it? So Rav Kanievsky says, you definitely can. But the question, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks a great, great kashya. He asks the question, can I make birkat ilanot on a tree that is orla, right? For the first 3 years of a fruit tree's life, you're not able to eat the fruits of the tree because of the din of orla. So he says, can I make birkat ha'ilanot on a baby tree that is less than 3 years old? Because I have an isar hana, I'm not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree, so how can I come and, practically speaking, make the bracha on it? How can I be yotzi on it? Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves his question as tzarachin, he's not sure, but he does say that if you're in chutz laretz, we know safek orla in chutz laretz is mutter to be eaten. And as a result, Rabbi Akiva Eger, who himself was in Europe and definitely not in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that if they have a suffix, you're not sure, is it the third year, is it the fourth year, you're not sure, you bought the tree, the house from someone else, and there's a little tree, you're not sure how old it is, and you're not able to figure it out, if there's a suffix, then you can make the bracha on it, because suffix orla and chutzar, it is mutter for achila, so too, it would be mutter for the bracha. The Divrei Malkiel and the Kaf HaChaim both bring down halacha l'maisa that you cannot say Birkat Eilanot on a tree that's Orla, because the same logic as Rabbi Kivager's question is, because at the end of the day, there's an Isra, you're not allowed to eat from the tree, so too, you can't make the brach on it. But the Rav Pa'alim, the Dovim Yisharim, the Yaskil Avdi, Rav Avadi Yosef, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach all disagreed, and they say, for sure, you can be somech to say bracha of Birkat Eilanot on a tree that is Orla, because at the end of the day, A, it is physically a fruit tree, and B, it is something that in the future is going to be permitted. It's a Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So even though, unlike in the Halachas of Isser V'Heter, Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin is going to be Aser and Tolat Matar, here they're saying, no, the fact of the matter is that it is a fruit tree, and it's going to be Mutar in the future. As a result, you can totally make the bracha on it, there's no problem. And as a result, Rav Rimon brings down, and he says that ideally you should not make the bracha on a orla tree if you have the opportunity to either use an orla tree or a non-orla tree. But if you only have an orla tree, for sure you can make a bracha, no question at all. What about a tree that was grafted? Right, you have an iser d'oraita of kilayim. You can't graft fruit, you can't graft animals, you can't have shatnez. All these halachot of kilayim. What if I have a tree that was grafted, right? You take your orange seed and you take your apple seed and you put it in the same hole and now you have, you know, some apple-orange mix. So the halacha ketano brings down and says, no, you definitely can't make a bracha on a grafted tree because it's usser. It's usser just like kilayim. So why can you make a bracha on it? The yavit says, no, it's totally fine. There's no problem. Halacha Lamaisa, Rav Avadia says that you cannot make a bracha on grafted trees, but the Kavachai and the Ben Yishchai, the Mincha Yitzchak, and others say that lechatchila you shouldn't, but b'dieved you definitely can. And as we said before, things like that, ideally we should try to not, and b'dieved it's okay, and that's going to definitely factor in people today who might have, let's say, a grafted tree by their house, and they're in quarantine, so they're going to be able to make the bracha on it, and b'somech b'dieved on the opinions that definitely say it's okay too, because they're not able to go out and find other trees. So I want to discuss a little bit into the questions of when does one say Birkat Ha'ilanot, right? The Gemara says, Hayote b'yamei Nisan, you go out when it's Nisan. So the Halacha Ketano is Medayik from the Gemara and said, no, there's a din that the bracha must be said in Nisan, and as a result, you can't make the bracha, let's say, when you see the Shkedia Porachat, you see the almond trees blossoming in Shvat around Tu B'Shvat time, because there's a din miyuchad in Nisan, and as a result, you can't say it either before or after, whether it is a leap year or not. But the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah and the Meiri and the Rokeach all disagree, and they say no. The Gemara says Nisan, but it's Lav Dafka Nisan. Why does the Gemara say Nisan? Because it's just a practicality. The only reason the Gemara said Nisan is because during the month of Nisan, that's when trees start to blossom. Trees come and they start blossoming and they give off their fruit they start to give off their fruit and to flower around the springtime. All of a sudden, the winter has passed and the snow has melted and the grass starts to grow and the rivers are high and full. Baruch Hashem, the Kinneret is very full. And as a result, the agriculture starts to really grow. And as a result, the Ritva, Meiri, and Rokeach say, Lav Dafka Nisan. And as a result, even after Nisan, or even maybe before Nisan, you could still make the bracha. It's just it's the first time I would see the blossoms, and it's just a practicality. Whereas in the Halacha Ketano, it says, is Medayik? No, it's Dafka Nisan, neither before nor after. Halacha Lamaisa, it seems to be that the Mukubalim, the Kavachayim, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu say, similar to the Halachot Ketanot, it's a din miyuchad for Nisan. Only in Nisan do we make the bracha. Whereas in the mainstream opinion is that the Elia Rabba, the Mishnah Berurah, the Machzir HaShekel, Chai Adam, Rav Avadia Yosef, and Rav Uziel all say that no, we can, lechatchila, we should be making the bracha in the month of Nisan. But b'dieved, you can make the bracha after Nisan. Let's say it's not a leap year, and Nisan falls out very early. And then, so after Nisan, it's still very, very cold, and the trees don't yet start to bud, and now, all of a sudden, it comes Rosh Chodesh Iyar, they say you can definitely still make the bracha, but you really shouldn't make the bracha in Shvat, as we mentioned before, but L'maisa, Halacha L'maisa, it seems to be most poskim, unless you paskin, I'll pee the Kabbalah, unless you are generally paskin, I'll pee Kabbalah, that b'dieved, after Nisan's over, you can still make the bracha. The Har Tzvi and the Minchas Yitzchak, they discuss a case. What happens, let's say, if you're living in Australia or South Africa, where the seasons are the other way around? And as a result, the lunar calendar doesn't really match up so well with the Chagim and the solar calendar. And as a result, they say that lechatchila, if in a country where the blossoming doesn't happen in Nisan, then lechatchila, you don't make the bracha in Nisan, you do it when it blossoms. Lechatchila for you, if you're living in Australia, is that you do make the bracha at the time of the blossoming, because it's a din for the blossoming. It is not something that is unique to Nisan, like the Halachot Ketanot want to say. They said it's like the Ritva and the Meiri, that really it is just a practicality. The Gemara is saying Lav Dafka, it's just going based on the practical mitzias of the time and place where you're living. And as a result, someone coming from Australia or South Africa for sure should make the bracha when the trees blossom in their season, and that's the lechatchila in the place where you are currently living. So what happens in a case that if you are, let's say you're out and about, you're not in quarantine, you know, or any other year besides for this year, and you pass the tree that is blossoming, and you completely forget about Birkat Ha'ilanot, or you say, oh, there's a bracha, but I don't know the bracha. So you go home, you see the tree, you know there's a bracha to be made. You go home, you get your sitter, you get your little bracha card, whatever you have for Birkat Ha'ilanot, and you go back to the tree. Are you allowed to make the bracha again, yes or no? So this is a machloka that's brought down in Hilchot Shechianu. When we make a Shechianu, there's sometimes it has to be on the first time you do something. It's an exciting experience. Are you allowed to make the Shechianu if it is the second or third time where you see it? So the Maharil brings down in his Tshuvos that even if you did not recite the Shechianu the first time, you can still recite it. And that's the psak of the Ramah. That even though you passed over it once, you come back, you can still make the Shechianu. But On the flip side, the Smak, Rabbeinu Manoach, and his parish on the Rambam, the Magen Avram, and the Mishneh Berurah all hold that if you miss the opportunity, you can't do it anymore. You saw that you lav davka in Berkat Ha'ilanot, but in the rules of Shachianu, maybe once you passed it up, right, you put on your brand new suit, and you were so excited, you bought your new car, you were so excited, and you hold that you should make a Shachianu in those cases, and you forgot what the bracha is, and you took it off, you said, next time I put it on, I'll make the, next time I wear that new suit, I'll make the Shachianu because I forgot the first time. So the Smak and the Rabbeinu Manoach, Magen Avraham Mishneh Berurah say, no, you missed out on your opportunity, it's a bracha of Shachianu right when you put it on, and now you've missed out, you cannot come and make the bracha again. The Machzir Shekel and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Gansfried all say the machloket regarding Shachianu is the exact same here, right? Just like there, if you miss the opportunity, you can't say it again. So to here, if you miss your opportunity, you walk past the tree, you saw the tree, you knew about it. Now you come back and you cannot say it again. But the Bach and the Prisha and the Mishneh Berurah himself and the Kaf HaChaim and Rav Avadia all say that the bracha, there's two different dinim. There's a din called Berkat Shachianu. There's a din called Berkat Ha'ilanot. Not going into it now, but there's a whole discussion as to what's Berkat Ha'ilanot. Is it a Berkat HaShevach? Is it a Berkat Hadah? Is it a Berkat HaMitzvah? Berkat HaRi'iyah? Where exactly does Berkat Ha'ilanot fall out? There's a whole lumdus going. I decided not to discuss them in today's shiur. Try to stick a lot more to the Halach Lamaisa. So the Bach, Prisha, Mishneh Berurah, Kaf HaChaim, and Rav Avadia all say there's two totally different bracha. You can't learn, you know, from apples to oranges. You can't compare Berkat Ha'ilanot and Berkat Shachianu. And as a result, even if you already saw the tree blossoming, you can definitely go back and make the bracha. But everyone says, L'chatchila, we try and make the bracha as soon as possible. And so the first time you see it, you really should. And we also know that there is a din of Zrizin Makedimin. And as a result, we want to say, because of Zrizin Makedimin, that you should try that the first time you see the blossoming fruit tree, you make the bracha as soon as possible. So regarding making the bracha, am I allowed to make the bracha on Shabbos? This is a question that it has a lot of discussion and minhagim that come involved. There's three main reasons brought down in the postgame as to why someone is not going to, why maybe someone shouldn't make the bracha on Shabbos. The first is Shema Yitlosh, right? You're going to make the bracha and you see that maybe there's a branch that is, it's partially broken and it's putting a lot of stress on the tree, or just, you know, whatever, you're playing with you just say, oh, let me, you know, you're of this temptation to just break off a branch. As a result, best to not do so because you might pluck off a branch. The other reason is historically, people lived in cities or in small villages. They didn't really have trees in the village. But right outside, the Gemara in Bava Batra tells us that right outside the city, there was designated land for gardens and parks and orchards for the people of the city to use. So maybe you're going to leave the city to go to the orchard on Shabbos, to go to the parks on Shabbos, and you're going to be leaving your reshut. There's not going to be an Erev. You're not able to go there. And then you're going to be over on leaving your reshut on Shabbos. The third reason, which is a little bit more Kabbalistic, so I guess take it or leave it, depending on whether or not you're so Kabbalistically inclined or not, that there's an Isser Borer. When you make the bracha on the Berkat Ha'ilanot on the budding and blossoming tree, you separate the nitzotzot, these holy sparks from within the fruit tree, and you're separating them from the tree as they go up with your bracha. And as a result, there's an Isser Borer. There's those that want to say, based off of this idea of the, you know, breaking off from the nitzotos to the fruit tree, that because of this, you need to get reshus. You can't make the bracha on the tree of someone else because there's gezel. Because when you remove the nitzotos from the actual tree itself, that as a result, it is going to then be stealing from the nitzotos. You're stealing part of the essence of the fruit. And now the fruit might be less, you know, less great or tasty or whatever, and as a result, you need reshus, otherwise there's an Isser Gezel, and there's those that also want to say that maybe you shouldn't have, you know, if you only have one tree for the whole city and everyone's going to make a bracha on it, that maybe by the people who come at the end, you know, guys who weren't so makbid on Zrizin Makdimin, then there's not any nitzotos left for them to raise up, and maybe that's a problem. But leaving those aside now, basically, those are the three main opinions as to why, three main reasons why you might not be able to make the bracha on Shabbos. The mainstream approach of the postgame is that you definitely can make the bracha on Shabbos. This is what Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Avadia and Rav Rimon all bring down, that really you can make the bracha on Shabbos. It should be noted that historically there were some communities that were noheg not to make the bracha on Shabbos, such as in Jerba and a few other communities, mainly in the Sephardi and Moroccan communities. But there were places where they were noheg not to make the bracha on Shabbos. Kamuvan, if you were in a place where you couldn't physically get to the trees because there was no Erev, or there's no way to get there, then of course that wouldn't be a minhag. But here it's saying, in a case where even if you could do so, there were no eggs and no, we don't. This would be a case where like Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so you want Zrizim Magdim and Yudafka, wait till you do it on Shabbos. There were other places, there were other communities that were noheg to specifically say that on Shabbos. Shabbos morning, they would daven in Shul. Right after Shul, the entire community would go out to the trees, and the entire community would make a, you know, big Berkat Ha'Ilanot together. Because of Rovam Hadrat Melech, everyone would say the bracha together. It should be noted the Aderet, the Hiv, Dafka would wait till Shabbos in order to say the bracha on Shabbos. Why? The Aderet was makbid to say Birkat Ha'Ilanot on Shabbos specifically because he wanted to get in his Mea Brachot. Right, on Shabbos we don't have as many Brachot in Shemona Esrei, and as a result it's harder sometimes to get to your 100 daily Brachot, so the Aderet will, every year on Nisan, the first Shabbos of Nisan, he would make Birkat Ha'Ilanot. It should be noted that Rav Eliyahu, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and the Mekubalim don't say the Birkat Ha'Ilanot on Shabbos because of the reason, as we mentioned before, of raising up of the Nitzotzot. So the pasuk in Mishlei, as we mentioned just now, in Perek Yudal, the pasuk Chavchet, tells us Berovam Hadras Melech. There's this idea of, you know, that the king is with the majority of the people, and as a result, there's a lot of mitzvahs that we try and do with as many people as possible. So it should seem to be that what we generally learn from the Gemara, Berovam Hadras Melech, is it's best that one person makes the bracha out loud, and everyone is yotze with that person who is making a bracha, and they all say Amen. That is the ideal. But there's some poskim who say that today, people are not such bikiyim. They're not so, you know, as familiar with all the different dinim and the laws for being motzi other people and having kavanah to be yotze and to be motzi. And so there are some poskim today who say better to not have one person make the bracha. Everyone should go out together. And as a group, as a minyan, we are going to then come and say the Birkat Ha'Ilanot to everyone on their own. But we're not going to have one person say everything out loud and everyone answer Amen, because maybe they're not baki in the different dinim, and we want everyone to be yotze and not to think they were yotze and then end up not being. So what's going to be the discussion if I have to make a decision? We mentioned before, there's a din of Zrizin Makedimin. The sooner the better. You want to rush to do mitzvah. That's why we do bris milah, try and do it right after shachar, first thing in the morning. Right? A lot of different mitzvahs that we try and do as soon as possible. So what wins out? If I have a case where I could do Zrizin Makedimin, or I could do with a minion. Let's say I know that the community I live in, let's say Sunday or in Chutz La'aretz, or let's say Friday in Eretz Yisrael, they have a minyan every year. That's going to be, let's say, the first Friday or the first Sunday in Nisan. They go out as a minyan and they go and they do it together. Or no, I could go on my own without a minyan. Zrizin Makedimin. Let me go and do it on my own. And I will say it on Rosh Chodesh itself without a minyan. Based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet, it seems to be that Zrizin Makedimin generally wins out. If you could do it on your own, the sooner the better. Even if you're not going to have a minyan, that seems to be the pshat in the Gemara, and that's what Rav Yimon brings down. But it should be noted that today, kamuvan, with coronavirus and everything else, we're trying to avoid minyanim and to avoid congregations of people together, especially if it's, you know, around one small tree. Then you should definitely make the bracha as soon as possible, as early as possible on your own, right? Today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Try and get out as soon as you can, if you can, to make the bracha as early as possible. I was asked earlier today, what would be the din today where you have a lot of people who are quarantined? Let's say you have someone who's not quarantined or in their backyard, they have a beautiful fruit tree. Are you allowed to live stream? Can you use Zoom or Skype or whatever, video conferencing, Facebook Live, whatever else is going on, to basically live stream the tree and let other people make the bracha on your tree through their phones or computers or whatever, you know, different technology we're using to basically live stream in it? In the Shub Tzel HaChachma, he has a whole discussion about Berkos or Re'iyah, whether or not you could do it via TV or not. And he discusses both the difference between live stream versus recording. And the Baal Tzel HaChachma says you cannot make Berkos or Re'iyah on a video screen. You need to see it in itself, right? He writes there specifically dealing with a rainbow and or seeing of a king. That if you were to not see it directly, you're just seeing a picture of it. Even though it's live, even though right now it is direct, but sometimes there's lag time, and then when you make the bracha, the rainbow is not really there, or whatever else is going on, the Bessal HaChachma says you cannot make Birkos HaRe'iyah on pictures or live stream. It's also brought down by, right, Rav Yitzchak Yosef and in the Halacha Brura as well. But we have another option that might work out that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and the Halacha Brura bring down, that you could make the bracha through, let's say, a magnifying glass or your glasses or telescope or binoculars. So let's say you don't have a fruit tree in your yard and you're in quarantine, but you know that your neighbor next door or a few doors down or, you know, the park on your block has a few fruit trees and you have a telescope or you have binoculars, you can take them out. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein and the Halacha Brura, Rabbi Avadia's son, say that you can be somech. You can definitely make the bracha in those manners because it's still physically there. Rather, the difference between a magnifying glass and a telescope versus a screen is that right now I know it's there and I'm just using something to help me zoom in on it that I could see it. It's just helping me see because we mentioned before, you need to be able to actually see the buds. You can't just see the tree. You need to see the buds themselves. So if you could see the tree and you need a telescope or binoculars to help you zoom in and see the actual budding flowers, then you can do so. Vezrat Hashem, this year we should be zocha through Birkat Eilanot to raise the Nitzotzot all the way up to Shemayim, and together then be zocha to bring in, as the Gemara mentioned, that Nisan is the time of the Geula. It is when Geula comes, and Bezrat Hashem, this year we should be zocha to deal with all these shilos and the yotzei min haklal that come up with coronavirus in Birkat Eilanot. But we should be zocha that we should all be saying Birkat Eilanot together, b'meira b'yamino in Yerushalayim, Amen.